In the early 1950s, three-year-old John Manns developed a rare form of double pneumonia that produced an extremely high fever and threatened his life. His parents stayed by his side in the hospital as he went through a series of painful treatments to try to lower his temperature. The doctors were not sure at all that John would survive, and if he did, with such a high fever, they were not sure if he would fully recover. And in response to this stress, this fear, this grief, as they sat by his side, his parents composed a song. His father wrote the music, and his mother wrote the words. And I want to play that song for you this morning. It's one of my favorite choral pieces. So as their son, who was three, laid there in extreme pain, maybe dying, maybe already gone, even if he lived, that's what they wrote. If you couldn't hear the words, "Rejoice in heaven, rejoice on earth, for Christ is coming soon. But even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come." Blows me away. I can only hope and pray that if I were ever faced with something like that, I could be that faithful. The music itself is enough to choke me up. You hear the grief in it, but it's like the fact that there's such deep darkness present in it. It draws your attention even more intensely to this beautiful light that shines through the music. Out of chaos, fear, and grief, John Mann's parents brought forth beauty and light. And that is what God does in Jesus. There's an awful lot going on in our reading from the Gospel of John, but it really boils down to this. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. The only reasonable thing anybody could expect to find in that tomb was an awful stench of death. But out of that death, Jesus brings life light from darkness, beauty where there was only grief and pain. Today is All Saints Sunday, a festival of the church that we usually associate with two things, remembrance and hope. We remember today those who have died. We call them saints not because they necessarily lived beautiful lives, though some of them have. We call them saints because, as Tina taught the children, to be a saint is to be holy. We become holy when we are joined to Jesus. So in baptism, you are a saint too. We remember those saints who have died, and we look to them as examples of what it means to live and also to die in the faith. And we trust and hope that this is not the end of their stories, that as absurd as it sounds, death is not the last word for all those who rest in Christ. And that's because we have a sure hope in Jesus, who will, as we heard from the words of Isaiah, destroy the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And this promise is the same one that we cling to, sisters and brothers, that whether we are alive or we are dead, what matters is that we are in Christ, and in Christ the story is not over. We know that God is at work and that the dead will rise again. More than just remembering the past, though, and hoping for the future, we believe that there is something else going on today, because we claim this promise, the promise that Jesus announces to Lazarus' sisters, that where Jesus is, there is life. Not just because Jesus can bring life with him, but because Jesus is life itself. This is tremendous news for us, because in water and word, at the font and in the table, we are joined to Jesus. And that means we have life now. I heard through the grapevine late this summer that the family of one of my favorite professors at the seminary in Columbia was struck with a tragedy. His adult son and his son's wife had been shot in their home. The son died. The wife came perilously close to death, and she was in intensive care for a month. I'm not sure that she has or will ever recover completely. And their son, who I believe is also three, was at home when all of this happened. So this favorite professor of mine lost his son, and in the same breath, all of a sudden he and his wife were caring for their three-year-old grandson full-time. I grieved for the senseless loss, for that little boy's world turned upside down, for the fact that selfishly, the seminary community might lose such a great teacher, because it would make complete sense in this scenario for him to step away from his work responsibilities. My heart still aches for this family. But actually, this professor did not give up his work responsibilities. He stayed this fall and taught like normal. And this week, as I pulled up one of my go-to sites for expert commentary and insights into the biblical text, I pulled the entry for this week, and I saw this professor's name on the commentary for this week, All Saints Sunday. And you know what he says after all this awful, awful stuff had happened in his world? He says that here and now, there is no grief or death or fear so deep and dark that the voice of Jesus cannot reach into it, call us out, and bring life. And to me, that sounds like the Lazarus story lived out. Light in darkness, beauty where there should only be the stench of death, resurrection and life even from the torturous cross. So we gather here at this table today with not only the saints present around us in bodily form, but with all the saints who have gone before us in the faith, who now rest in Jesus. And we receive at this table Jesus, and through him we receive life, confident that whatever burden you bear, whatever darkness surrounds you, there is no death, no grief, no fear so deep and dark that the voice of Jesus cannot reach into it and bring life. We are a resurrection people, and where Jesus is, life is. Thanks be to God. Amen.